I'm Aisling Keenan and you're listening to Every Mum the Podcast, now in its 13th season and supported by Waterwipes, the number one baby wipe brand in Ireland, made with simply two ingredients and nothing else. When I had my daughter, I wanted something I could trust to use on her skin, and Waterwipes were and still are the one. I once made the mistake of trying a different brand and never again. I didn't realise just how much of a difference there could be between two fairly similar brands, but it was huge. My daughter is now almost three, and I still panic if I don't have at least one pack of water wipes within line of sight. With that in mind, I'm happy to say that this season is supported by that most essential of products for every mum, water wipes. Winners of seven National Parenting Product Awards 2023, including Best Baby Wipes and Best Baby Newborn Essential, they are ideal for delicate newborn skin. Together, we are committed to providing more support for parents with trusted products and this podcast. Hi everyone, welcome back to Every Mum the Podcast. I'm Aisling Keenan, your host, and my wonderful, wonderful friend Caroline Foran is my guest this week and a returning guest to Every Mum the Podcast. This time, Caroline and I talk about her most recent struggles with her son, Caelan, and how she has very recently undergone assessments with various clinical assessors to help better understand her son's unique needs. We talk about the anxiety over a potential future diagnosis, how guilt can be associated with wanting a straightforward life for your child, and how she cries every night nearly at bedtime out of sheer frustration at how challenging her days have become. She talks with such bravery and candor, but also with empathy and a genuine sense of gratitude. This chat might be of particular help to anyone who is starting or in the middle of an assessment process, whatever that might look like for you, or indeed anyone who feels the frustrations and guilt associated with parenting. I hope you enjoy. Caroline Foran is back and she is resplendent in a pink jumper and I, meanwhile, look like a toe. Welcome, Caroline.
Thank you. You do not look like a toe. You look beautiful as always. Yeah. And full disclosure, I'm sitting on my bed and I know we had a pre-chat saying, can I get away without this looking like I'm sitting on my bed? But I'm sitting on my bed and that's just
you
who
admitted
I am.
It. And that, but to be fair, I did say you could be sitting on the toilet for all I care.
Yeah, I would say, actually, I've got quite nice lighting in my toilet, so...
Anyway, let's get into it. So Caroline is joining me once again. So Caroline's on a bit of a, I hate the word journey and I'm reluctant to use it, but you are kind of on a bit of a journey with your son Caelan, who is, he is three, gonna be four in August. And anyone who has listened to the podcast or listened to you on the podcast before, like last time we chatted about how Caelan is quite sensitive, highly sensitive, as you would describe him, and has his little quirks and things like that. But lately, you've kind of gone in a new direction with him and trying to figure out how best to adapt to his needs and his wants and his life and his little ways. So why don't you tell us what the latest is on Caelan?
Yeah, so where do I begin? I think if people are up to date on the last episode that we did together, probably up until about last year, last summer, I would have put him in the category of highly sensitive. Like, that makes sense for him. What I read about it makes sense. I didn't really want to know about or entertain the idea of anything more going on in my own fear, I suppose, of there being something more at play that would be get more difficult as time goes on, or that I would feel ill-equipped to handle. And I think as time went on, it just did get more difficult. And he started to show a lot more signs and traits and behaviors and just struggles in his day-to-day just getting through. You know, it's not like, oh, he's obsessed with this one thing. It's just, it was hard for him and is hard for him just to kind of exist in the world sometimes. And we have been around and around and up and down and in and out, and I'm absolutely shattered at this stage from the roller coaster of one day thinking, oh no, he's just like a typical 3-year-old. You know, it's they're all like that to some degree, to then bouncing the other end and being like, I don't think this is normal. And that word normal, I know, is so problematic, but that's, look, that's the word we all kind of go to. It's the word you want for your child, I think. There's a lot of pressure around the word normal as well. But there were certain things that I was like, oh, I don't know if I can just shove this under the rug or say that this is just what you'd expect to see from a kid of his age, especially when it came to comparing him to other kids the same age. And people would say, oh, he's a COVID baby. I'm like, I know loads of COVID babies and they're grand. And like, yes, that might be a factor, but I think there's something more going on for him. And because of everything that is or isn't going on for him, it has made the experience of parenting him so difficult for the most part. And I've struggled so much with feeling like it's just that I'm shit or I can't get on with it. I just can't put on a good mindset. I can't wake up and decide. Like, I try to wake up and decide, like, I'm gonna just let it all roll off my back today. And then an hour into, you know, the 15th colossal meltdown about something, I'm on the floor being like, oh my God, can this please get just a fraction easier? So, because of all of that, and then getting to the point of starting Montessori, which I know we'll talk about, which felt like huge pressure. In the end, didn't work out, and I had to go against the grain of the entire world telling me to just push through and leave him, and he'll have to adapt, and decided not to do that to him because of all of that, and more observing him as time goes on and being around other kids and noticing differences. I eventually came to the conclusion that it can't hurt to get more information, and I'm so anxious at the moment, or I was trying to shove a square peg into a round hole, trying to hoping and trying and kind of pressuring Caden to be like other kids and wanting to see him be like other kids at a play date and being frustrated and anxious and overwhelmed when he isn't taking to the, you know, funky monkeys like other kids and panicking inside, being like, oh, I wish, why isn't he like that? And it took me so long, so long to get to a point of being like, he just isn't. And I need to now accept my son for who he is. And help understand, try to understand a little bit more about who he is, what's going on for him internally, his brain, his psychological profile, his sensory profile, so that I can better help him and understand him and have a better time myself, because how it affects me and my husband really matters quite a lot, as well as how he is. You know, it's not just about, and I feel selfish saying this, but it's not just, you know, whatever, like whatever he needs. Like, we need to all be well and feeling okay, and we haven't. So I was advised by a friend, Aoife Durkin, the highly sensitive psychologist, who said, look, Caroline, she was, you know, I've learned a lot from her about highly sensitive people and children in particular. And she was saying she always says to friends who are concerned or worried or finding that just getting through the day is that much of a challenge, at least for reassurance, just go and get assessed. And I remember when he had just turned 2, and it kind of like a, it was like we turned a corner into shitsville, and we've been there ever since. But I remember someone saying to me, like, maybe you should get him checked out for autism. But at the time, I wasn't really receptive to it, and I wanted to let things play out for him. You know, a lot of those behaviors are so developmentally appropriate as well. And it takes a long time. And it also takes an expert to know what's developmentally appropriate and what's something to maybe drill down into further. So after Christmas, which was really, really difficult, really intense, and not fun for anyone, I remember being out for a walk with Caelan and Barry, and we were in Dingle. And Caelan was so dysregulated, the poor little thing. He was trying to control every little thing around him. The position of where we were on the road, who walked in what order, like he was just, it was impossible to just do basic things.
Where
And Barry turned to me, and Barry's always like Mr. Optimistic. He's always like, no, like he's grand, he's grand. And I'm like, well, if he's totally fine and there's nothing going on for him, then like, what is wrong with me? Because I
It must be
can't cope.
somebody.
Yeah. And then he looked at me in that moment and said, "This isn't normal, is it?" And I said, "No. I think we both know that we need to understand a bit more about what's going on for him and for us." So, and I had already kind of started the process of looking into assessment, but I definitely just was in denial. So then after Christmas, I picked it back up again and I was like, "No, I need to make this happen." And I went privately because we can afford to do that, and I'm very grateful for that. With Dr. Claire Conlon in the Caterpillar Clinic, who was recommended to me by lots of different people. I'm sure you've had her on or will have her on. She's got such a gentle disposition, which really suits me, and suits Kaylin. And she's fab. And she put us on her list, and then she got a cancellation, and we went for it in March. And the timing couldn't have been more suitable because if everything was really ramping up for Kaylin, you know, he was showing more and more signs of near constant dysregulation. And things were becoming more apparent to me that, like, the box that he would fit in is, and I know it's terrible, we shouldn't be categorizing people, but like, our idea of what to expect from our kids is so one box, you know? And what we know about the other boxes it's so little, and the overlap between the boxes, and what boxes we might grow out of, and what boxes are actually, this is our box, and this is where we're going to move within this box, if that makes any sense. So the last few months has been getting towards the assessment, which was, it was intense because of our day to day was intense. The actual assessment process itself, I didn't find particularly, I was actually just grateful to be getting closer to it and be like, okay, we're going to hopefully get some more answers. So I don't know if you want to talk more about the specifics of the assessment.
Yeah, I do. Well, I want to ask first, I suppose, like, you know, the way we were saying, because I know from us obviously being pals, I know how difficult that you found certain periods when, you know, Caden has been having a hard time, or when things have been like extra, like you say, when he's dysregulated and everything gets very difficult, from bedtime to just leaving the house or having his mind or take care of instead of you. And like I remember sitting, I had one bad night with Lydia recently. This makes me sound like a smug becker, but I'm not saying it to be smug, I'm saying it to explain. Like, I had one bad night with Lydia recently where she normally goes to sleep fine at 7 o'clock, and she didn't, and she cried and cried and cried, and I was on the floor of my living room crying. And I was up to 90 with stress, thinking, well, what does this mean? Why is she like, she normally sleeps fine. Is this the start of something? Is she having a regression? Is she what? And all this stuff was running through my head from one night. And you have nights like that or days like that all the time. And I don't know how you manage it. Like, I really genuinely don't know how you manage it. And one of the things I know from talking to you is you, it's almost like you don't like to admit that it's not that you don't like to admit that it's hard, but you don't, you're more concerned with Kaylin than with yourself and how things are for you. But I think any parent out there who's going through something like this needs to feel okay with the fact that their lives are important as well as their child's. Do you know the kind of way?
Yeah, and I think that's something that we're definitely afraid to say. And
We are, yeah.
I'm very aware that my well-being is just as important, because I'm, you know, if I fall down, it all falls down,
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And
you know.
that's the
So,
thing, isn't it? Yeah.
and it has been like that, what you described, like that night of sitting on the floor crying, like that has been, especially since Christmas, I'd say like 5 out of 7 nights a week. And it started as feeling really just exasperated and anxious and worried. And eventually, that constant feeling that, coupled with just, I mean, even at the best of times, 3-year-olds can be little
Yes, they
fuckers
can. Yeah, they can.
and drive you insane. And so that, like, coupled with the general, the toddler stuff that you're dealing with, and then you throw like a pile of shite on top, my resilience was just on the floor. And so a new thing for me, which I've never experienced in my life before, really, because in any other guise you can like walk away, really, really deep-seated anger and frustration and rage. And not rage at him, but rage at the situation, and this feeling of like resentment, and all these horrible, horrible toxic feelings of, even sometimes regret,
Mm-hmm.
which I know is no one wants to admit, but I know a lot of mothers have felt it when they've been in, at this level of intensity and difficulty, when there are infinitely more difficult days than good days. It's hard not to be like, Jesus, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know it was going to be like this. And our bedtimes got so, I mean, at the end of the day, like you're ready to just, you've already come through a day of, for example, like unwillingness to leave the house, meltdowns about every little thing, meltdowns about, when I say meltdown, I mean like fully not able to come back from it. No distraction works. Complete dysregulation, walking on eggshells all day long, having to, and I say pick my battles, but ending up picking nothing because
No battles.
you're just trying to like get through. And then you'd have bedtime, which would be just, he's extra tired, he's even more sensitive at the end of the day, and we've probably he's probably been dysregulated from how X many meltdowns. And so our bedtime started to become like these 2 hour long battles. And Barry was like, Jesus, we have to do something, because he'd only accept me, don't accept me in the middle of the night, only accept me for pretty much everything. I'd say I've done like 360 or 350 bedtimes out of 365, but each evening, as I would sit on his rocking chair, I would try so hard to be like, this will pass, this will pass. Like, just be really calm. Because I know that being frustrated or snapping doesn't serve us at all. And I know, and it's totally fine to snap every now and then, because you're only human. But
Absolutely.
I just found that I was so much, it was taking so little for me to reach that point of like bubbling
Perfect.
over, and just noticing that I was spending at least 2 hours a night just, if you touched me, like you'd get an electric shock. I was just so amped up with just frustration and rage. And then I'd like, that was just like energy passing through that had nowhere to go, and I couldn't release it because I'm not going to take it out on him. And then I would just cry, and I would just go upstairs when he finally fell asleep, and I just like fall asleep in my own bed, and then kind of dread waking up again the next day, not knowing what the day is going to bring. And I was like, Jesus, like. And then there's the guilt, and because I know how fortunate we are, and he is healthy and he is happy in his own way some of the time, and he's not, like we've so many good things going for us. And I hate when I share and I'm honest and vulnerable with this, and people jump to the conclusion that she doesn't know how good she has it, because I do know. And that's part of what makes me so upset, is that I know I'm trying so hard to enjoy it and appreciate it. And but there have been days, months now, where you go in with the best of intentions, the best of mindset, and I don't know anyone who couldn't be like, Jesus Christ, like give me a break. And then it's the kind of the worry about what's going on for him. What does this mean? What will this look like? What will this turn into? Is this gonna get worse? Is this something he's growing into more? It's the worry of everything, like the way you said that night, you worried, oh, is this a new thing for Lydia? Is she just suddenly going to stop sleeping? You can't help but catastrophize and jump forward. It's that, like, that heavy bag you're carrying, compounded by just the day-to-day stresses and the frustration, just meant that my mental health ended up so, has ended up so compromised. And so, yeah, like I think the rage and the anger that I was carrying or feeling, that was a sort of a coping mechanism, like because I couldn't walk away from it. I can't change it. I can only be there night after night after night, day after day after day. I'm not gonna walk away. And I'd kind of, I don't know, I just feel like getting angry and being like, oh, for fuck's sake, and just like really losing the rag, to myself, or like I would text you, or I'd text someone being like, oh my God, I can't take this. That became like a little release or pressure valve release for me or something. Like, just, I don't know. I can't explain it, because I don't, like, people say, oh, how have you been coping? Like, I haven't been coping. I've been getting really angry. I've been feeling really, really down and really guilty that people might perceive that I'm not, what's the people say, like cherishing the moment enough. Like, if I see one more of those posts.
I know, but that's like, with due respect, that's nonsense. Like, that's like legitimately
That reminds me of when someone is struggling with their mental health, when they have depression or anxiety or whatever. It's like, have you tried just not feeling sad? You know, that's literally what that is. Like someone saying, you know, cherish the moment and take it all in and you'll miss it when it's gone. No, actually, you probably
I
freaking
really
won't.
won't miss this
No.
part. And I, you know, all the talk about like, oh, you only have 18 summers. Like, what?
Yeah.
First of all, I just think that's such fear mongering and pressure
Yeah.
on mothers to enjoy every minute when these years are like, there are plenty of gorgeous moments. There really are. But it's so intense and it can be so hard. And especially if your child is extremely sensitive or neurodiverse, even though my child is brilliant and so bright and there's so many good things going for him, it's still at the moment, anyway. Really, 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 really hard for the
And that's
parent and for him.
hard to say, like, and it is, yeah, it's for him and for you and for Mary and like your family, I'm sure as well.
You know, even I had a little play date with, you know, kids are so brutally honest in a beautiful way. And it was a really difficult play date. Caelan was really not himself. And it just, that comparison felt so stark for me. And I was just like, my heart just sank just seeing him just not want to be there at all. And like one of the little girls was like, why isn't Caelan talking? And he was just mute. And like when he's home and happy and at ease, you can't shut him up, you know? And so I think it's kind of ingrained in all of us to expect certain things from kids. It's society, it's the support, it's the status, but it's also like our perceptions as well. But I don't want my son to struggle. And I also want us all to like have some, I want to have a good time together. I don't want to just feel like we dragged ourselves through these years and then his childhood is done, you know? So it has been like, I have had a bit of like a pity party at times.
Do you know, like when we were talking, and I often think about this issue of like as a mother having regret. And it's, I often think, because I know so many mothers feel this way, sometimes it's not, it particularly in your case, regret is probably a very strong word, but injustice is something that comes to mind. Like, why is this happening? Why is this my parenting experience? Why is this happening to me or to my family? And you kind of just feel like the idea, everyone has an idea in their head of what their parenting experience is going to be like. And then if it doesn't pan out that way, there can be a sense of injustice around it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I try at the end of every day to like bring myself back to he's healthy, he's safe, he's happy. Once his little boxes are ticked, he's loved, he's provided for, he won't want for anything. We are healthy. Like, I try to come back to those things all the time. I don't know if I feel like, I definitely don't feel like injustice, but when I get to the point of, I think just when I mentally burn out, my mind just goes to those dark places of being like, ah, for fuck's sake, I didn't ask for this. And like, you can go to that like irrational or dramatic or, you know, catastrophic thinking. And I think when I start to think that way, when I think about, oh my God, I wouldn't have done this had I known how hard it was, that's when I know I'm really like need a break, or I'm at the end of my rope. Because then the next morning I wake up and it's like reset again, and I don't feel that way. So to me, reaching those points is like a barometer for when I need to take better care of myself. And it's not even, I mean, like, it's not that I've been like neglecting myself, because when people who experience, when their kids have really intense like attachment and separation anxiety from the mother, it's like, no, it doesn't matter if there's like all the help in the world is there. Like, they only want you, and all you want to do is soothe them. So you're just there, and you're just, you know, that does deplete your reserves eventually as well. So there's been definitely a couple of things at play from, you know, his own, I think a lot of different kinds of anxiety, social anxiety, separation anxiety, just uneasiness, some sensory stuff. So we were like, let's just bring it all to the table, and try and get a better sense of things for him. There's also an element of, like I say, like a lot of people say the age three is really, really difficult anyway. And some kids come out of it after two. Some kids really go turning a corner into becoming a little, growing horns for the age of three. And then like people say by age four, like you're laughing. So there's also like a lot of, if you wrote it down, like you could say that a lot of what he's going through is developmentally appropriate, but when it's in such excess and it's kind of constant, it's every day, we couldn't not be like, I think we owe it to him to, if there is anything going on, to like, especially if he needed extra supports, like early intervention is so important. And so yeah, that's what, so we just went for it, and it was a really it's a very vague almost process, because it's subjective, you know, you're trusting someone's expertise to know what they're looking for, and it's kind of a process of elimination. There's an observation element where you're in person, and then there's like a lot of questionnaires. But like, if I was having one really intense week, like how I report could be so different to how I'd report a week later. So there's a lot of pressure on you as a parent to like give adequate and reliable information. And people can underreport and overreport.
You know, that observation bit, like, what, like, what happened there? As in, did someone come to your house and observe him living, or did you have to go somewhere with him? Because I feel like, you know, there are some children, like Caelan is extremely intelligent, and I feel like there's times where he can just be like, yeah, I'm fine now, and not like do the things that he normally does when it's just you and him or whatever. So like, how did the observation element pan out, and how did you think about it?
So it was in person in her clinic, and it was, it's no more than 90 minutes. So like, I was expecting it to be like loads of different in-person appointments, and it, I don't know about other people, but that's not the case for us.
Okay.
And what was great about it was it was a multidisciplinary assessment, and usually there's like different expertise involved. So she's a clinical psychologist, and instead of bringing in another person, which might make it a bit overwhelming, she records it, and then she has her occupational therapist that she works with go through it, and that person contributes to the assessment in that way.
Okay.
Which is better, because it's less requirement of us and less people looking at him, you know. But it was really just like, once I prepare Caelan and he knows what's going on and we're there with him, like, I knew he was going to be completely fine in the situation. He's very, very bright. Once he's, if he wasn't on board with it, we never would have even gotten him into the car, you know? So once he's like, oh yeah, cool, we're going there, it's like, we're going to meet this lovely doctor. And what Claire had said to me was, look, we're here to figure out, see where Caelan's strengths are as well, because a lot of people, you know, you focus on a lot of the reporting and the documents focus on obviously like things that are difficult and things that they lack and places where they struggle, and it can start to warp your perception of your child. There's so much, obviously,
there's that's so positive there,
good and bright and everything, and I know all of that. Like, there's so many parts of Caelan that I'm not worried about, you know, at all. Like, his learning ability is kind of frightening, to be honest.
The first time I heard him counting in Japanese, I was like, okay, that child's gonna be fine. He's three and he's counting in Japanese. We're grand here.
So we had said, look, we're going to go and meet this lovely doctor, and her job is we're going to play some games, and she wants to see what your superpowers are. So he was like, deadly, I'm on board. And that's kind of, in essence, what it is, you know. It's very much support and positive reinforcement led. It's not like setting him up to see all the things he will fail at all. Certainly not my experience. And we go in, and she has some different toys set up, and it's quite a swift swapping and switching from one thing to the next. So he handled that really well. Usually he wouldn't. And in a way, like you said, once he knows, right, I'm going into the situation, he can almost like put on his best hat or put his best foot forward. And then he might kind of give me the brunt of it later on when he feels super relaxed and comfortable with me. So because he didn't know her, and she was like, okay, now we're going to play this game, he wasn't like, oh, but I want to keep playing this. Whereas with me, he probably would. So he handled it really well. Which is, you know, good to see that he has those coping skills and those strategies there inbuilt. And it was just a lot of like games and pointing at things. Can you show me where the car is in these pictures? Can you show me where this is? And I think a lot of it's very specifically designed. Like, to you or I, we'd be like, what is this? What are they looking for here? What are they picking up on? But it's very obviously particular. So that one assessment part in person, she was writing a few notes, and I was like, what is he writing? And he did. And he did really well. And in that scenario, I was like, if I was her, I'd be thinking, what are they doing here? Do you know? Like,
I know what you mean, yeah. Because
he's grand. But that's why there's different elements to it. And there's also a lot that I think an expert can pick up on that, you know.
Yeah, certainly, yeah.
Like on a good day, I'm like, oh, today he's fine. And it's like, no, but he's still who he is today, you know? So then there's the questionnaires, like there's some really kind of graded ones of like questions, and then it would say, I most likely to blah blah blah, and then it's like most often, like very often, rarely, that kind of thing. And then that's like a score or something comes out of that, and it all comes together. And we had also done an assessment prior to that ourselves with an occupational therapist, because Claire had recommended that we do that to get a sense of his profile. And so that wasn't part of the assessment, but we just did that ourselves anyway. And now actually Claire is going back to the OT there as well, because that's just more information is always better.
Yeah, of course.
And she had come and did a visit in our house with us, and she had also given me questionnaires to fill in. So there's a lot of documents to fill in. And I think when people say it's so overwhelming and exhausting, though, it's not the actual assessment bits and bobs really for me. It's the overwhelm of all the different variables. Like, because I share about it, and I'm happy to do so, people are, come to me and say, like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? So there's a new diagnosis being put at me every other day. And I know people mean well, but there's, acronyms I've never heard of, like oppositional defiant disorder, pathological demand avoidance, all these different things that are psychological profiles that can live under the autism umbrella, I think. And I'm there furiously Googling, oh yeah, that sounds a lot like him. Oh, that sounded like a lot like him. And then coming up against something else, being like, oh no, he wouldn't tick that box. Oh, but he would have a lot of that. And the back and forth and the up and down, and a hard day and a good day, and a day of being like, no, we absolutely need this assessment. And then a day being like, maybe we did, maybe he's just going to turn a corner. So the overwhelming part is the not knowing and the not knowing the best approach. Like,
That
if it
sounds
was
exhausting.
something,
It sounds exhausting just
it's,
listening
it
to you
is.
say
Like,
all
if,
that. Yeah.
for example, like if a child comes out, shows up having like the path, more of the pathological demand avoidance type of neurodiversity, then all of the typical parenting styles that we all grew up receiving, and boundary holding and all that, like a lot of that can really exacerbate things. And I was feeling really strongly like that sounded a lot like him. So if I'm there saying, no, I'm holding firm, no, this is, I have to be strong, be firm here, then people say, if that's what's going on, if you're not accommodating, you're activating their nervous system. So I was like, I don't know at all now if I'm gonna send him into a spiral of dysregulation, or if he doesn't have that and I'm just enabling him and turning him into, I'm almost creating behaviors. My head was going to explode trying to, same with Barry, like he would end up on a Reddit thread after a Reddit thread being like, people are saying this. And I'm like, oh my God, I just need to take all the variables and all the noise and reduce it down into one person that I trust who can guide me. And look, and I think the most important thing to say is an assessment won't change your child. It's Caitlin's not gonna come out the other end a different person. I don't want that. I don't want my little boy to change. I love his personality. I just want to understand better so I can support him better, so we can all relax a little bit, be less on eggshells. And that if I can understand what he needs, then I think we'll all do so much better. And then I think even with a diagnosis, life would hopefully become easier because you're not in that gray area anymore.
This podcast is just one way that every mum supports you. Another amazing way is our free gift bag, packed full of essentials for you and baby, including free samples of water wipes, the number one baby wipe in Ireland. To receive yours, register now on everymum.ie. There's a free gift bag there waiting for every mum.
You know the way you were saying, like you with the path, what was it, pathological demand avoidance? Like, if
I
that
don't
was,
know. I don't know if he's gonna. I
if he has,
don't.
yeah,
And
exactly.
honestly, this week, like we, personally, like he's in such good form this week that I've been pulled back on the other side of the roller coaster, being like, oh my God, he wouldn't sound like any of that this week. So
Yeah.
it's like,
That in itself, like the fact that you've got all those things going on in your head, like you were saying, you don't know if what you're how you're responding to him is helping him or hindering him
exactly.
or making things worse, making things better. Like if you as a parent, like, and for anyone listening, if you're at that point with your child where you don't know if how you're parenting them is beneficial or if it's making things harder for you, for them, if it's making things easier for you or for them, if it's getting to the point where you are that stressed and that challenged by your, parenting choices, if there probably is space there for like not necessarily like a full assessment, but like advice from a professional. Because even like in the case of I know you did it as well, we did like sleep coaching, and that's a very simple, basic thing that a lot of parents do now. And I found personally that the sleep coaching process taught me about sleep in children and educated me about it, because I hadn't a bog, and I had never read anything about sleep. I'd never learned anything about sleep. I had never looked up any of the current kind of guidelines about sleep. So I had no idea. And like, if you're going through life with a child who has a difficulty, whether that's sleep, whether that's how they eat, whether that's something, that you're not sure of yet, educating yourself on it to help them is like, you would think, one of the first steps. And yet people, particularly when it comes to maybe a diagnosis of autism or, some kind of like autistic spectrum disorder, people are nervous to approach that because, like you said, there's not like stigma, but you're almost like, I don't know, a reluctance to admit it or something like that. I don't know. But like you said, it can only help your child if you are armed with more information from a professional or someone who knows better. So like, do you still feel like, have you kind of accepted the fact now that if a diagnosis of something, whatever that might be, comes along, that that's only going to be a good thing for you, for Caitlin, for your family?
I think for the most part, yes. I don't think it could be like because I say like I know it's not going to change him, it's only going to give us more information. We're not going to rejig his brain or this, like all we can do
There's
is
no
support him
fixing
and
anything
help him
here.
flourish. And especially I feel so eager for it now. Like Montessori was such a disaster last year and I decided to pull him out of it. It just felt, I just knew in my heart that it wasn't a case of him having to push through. I knew if I pushed him so hard, knowing his little nervous system, he wasn't going to come back from it. He was just falling apart, at home as well. It wasn't just like a meltdown in the class and then like being fine at home. He was unraveling. And I just knew that it was too much too soon. And obviously when it comes to school, like I can't pull him out of school. He
He
needs to
has
go
to
and have
go
an
too.
education. So for me, it's really important that if there is something going on for him, I start to get an awareness and an understanding of that now, because he's three, he's nearly four, and who knows, by this time next year, and he's about to start school, I'll be able to advocate for him so much better as well if I know what's going on.
If you have his parameters, like,
Because what I mean, the first time, like I was trying to say, oh, like, he's kind of sensitive and he might need a bit more of this. And they're like, Asher, he's grand. I see this all the time. They're all the same. I'm like, no, they're actually not though. And
No,
obviously people.
that's like so frustrating, isn't it? Because like, there, yes, of course, there are a whole rake of children who are of a very similar ilk, and they do kick off and they do typical, 2, 3, 4 year old things. But then there are children who have got those additional needs, and it isn't fair to just be like, oh, they're grand. Do you know the kind of way? Like, it really isn't.
So I think getting information or confirmation of anything will validate me a bit in a way that I can advocate for more rather than me just
And be more
sounding like
confident
I'm
about
being
it.
too precious or I'm being too sensitive. Because a lot of the time I did get spoken to by different childcare providers and we went to visit different Montessoris that it's like that it's my inability to let go as opposed to him. And I'm like, no.
You don't
I
understand.
would be off in the pub having champagne if my child will skip off into your class. Like, I want him to fly and thrive and soar, but it's virtually impossible for him to step away from me at the moment for whatever reason. So, in a way, being able to say, look, we know that he's got this kind of nervous system or whatever, like already from that occupational therapy session that we did, she was said, look, he does tick the box or he does fit the criteria, I suppose, for sensory processing disorder. Now, that's becoming less and less of an issue as he gets older because he's more tolerant of different, like it used to be noise, it used to be lots of different stuff. It's just getting easier. So, like, I think even if we didn't know that, it probably wouldn't have been such an issue later on as life goes on.
He's grown out
But
of it.
even just knowing that now helps me contextualize or helps me make sense of things like, well, do you know what? If a really loud, busy, overwhelming place is giving him this sensory trigger, then I don't need to be feeling bad about not sending him to someone's birthday party in Funky Monkeys because that's going to actually really be hard for him. So in that way, like having that little bit of validation has helped. And what I will say is, you know, we talked about, you know, if you get to this point of being it being so challenging, yes, it's probably worth seeking assessment. But even before you go there, what I think I would now advise someone to do is do like a one-on-one session. So like a psychologist who does the assessment or an OT or a play therapist, they all pretty much offer one-on-one or parent consultations. And what you can do is basically tell them everything you want to tell them about what you're going through, what you're experiencing. And then they might be able to advise, look, it might be worth going forward with something, or this sounds like this. So
Or even finding out that, oh, it's this is, yes, that's probably that, but it's something that they'll grow out of over the course of time. And it sometimes happens when they're 3 or 4 or whatever. Like,
yeah.
just to get a professional opinion, like.
And to be honest, just like so before we did the assessment with Claire, I think we did one virtual consultation, and it was really good just to download all of what was in our head because
No.
I di it didn't feel like enough to just have a questionnaire, like a box ticking exercise, and then see him in person where I definitely couldn't talk about him in his presence because he'd be there and he'd hear everything and he'd, you know, pick up on all of it. It was really good for us to be able to say, for her to say, do you know what, that sounds really hard and I'm going to help you and we're going to figure this out. And it also sounds like there's lots of strengths there, which you can lose sight of when you're in the thick of it. So I would probably start there with like a parenting consultation one-on-one just to have someone else say, because a lot of the time, you know, throughout this whole experience, I've had plenty of people be like, he's grand, just get on with it. Like, just, you know, this is what parenting is. And I'm like, okay, well, that just puts the blame back on me and makes me feel like I'm failing. When actually, no, there is probably something at play for him. And now I already know, even just the one layer of sensory processing issues that he's had. As much as you don't want to be told that, I'm like, that actually makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, it's
And I
validation.
understand him a little bit better.
It's validation for all of the things that you've been going through with him for the last however long. Like, it's.
I think I have an insecurity because it's been suggested to me so many times that like he's going to be anxious just because I'm anxious. And I have such a handle on my own anxiety these days. And I know there's like with newborn babies that can pick up on your cortisol or whatever. But like I have such awareness of it with Kaylin, and I hate that other mothers would think that their worry of their child is like contributing to it. No, if I, do you know, if I wasn't worried at all about him and I didn't care, I would not be getting these assessments and I wouldn't be getting more information to help him. And your child nature is your child's nature. I could have another child and it could be a Zen Buddha master, and I could still be the same person. I could still parent in the same way. There's too much. People compliment parents all the time. Oh, your child is so chill because you're so chill. No, your child is just so chill. And that means you get
Yeah,
to
they're
be
born.
chill. Like you get to be like I'm not up to 90 because that's where I am and want to be. Like I'm responding to my child's temperament and needs, and I'm on eggshells because it's like a little live grenade.
It's very, very, very reductive to put the blame for a child's behavior or a child's temperament onto their parent. Like, it's that's really reductive. That's taking it out of account so many things about, like you said, just who they are as a person and how they're like how they enter the world. And like, I know plenty of parents, mothers, fathers who have anxiety disorders, or who have, you know, who've gone through like severe postnatal depression or severe postnatal rage and have children who are as laid back as anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it doesn't call what's the thing? Causation and correlation, or causation doesn't mean correlation. Like, that's it is very reductive to say that. And particularly, I mean, maybe given the fact that you're so open and you have been for so long about the fact that you've struggled with anxiety in your life, that people feel it's okay to say that to you. But
Yeah,
I
and I
really
get
don't
that.
think it is. Like I get it as well, but it's not fair, and it doesn't make like scientific
Well,
sense.
it's the implication that, like, if I was just like chill and I'll be grand, like go into Montessori, you'll get over it, that he would then get over it, and that he
No.
would, like, that's just not,
No, it's
it's
not
not
the
how it
case.
worked. And
Because, and just as an example of that, my sister, honest to God, I've never met someone who's more horizontal. Like, she is laid back, and her little boy, my gorgeous nephew, he's around the same age as Lydia. He's a little bit younger, 3 months younger. And they were putting him into Montessori around the same time Lydia was starting. And Lydia had a couple of weeks where she was, having a bit of a cry going in and having a bit of separation anxiety. But then she eventually, and again, I didn't force her into anything. I didn't push through, but she adapted. And I knew that, the way as a mother, you can tell that they're okay. Yes, they're having a moan, but they're fine. I knew that that's all it was, and off she went. Now my nephew, who has the most laid back mother, I am way, way, way more highly strung than my sister, and he went in and had his cries, and she knew by him. She was like, he's not taken to this. And every day, the poor little thing, like after a few days of going into trying to go into school and spending an hour in there maybe and then leaving, or spending a couple of hours and then leaving, he was saying to my sister all the time, he was going, Mammy, we're not going to school today. And he would cry, like, and anytime they got into the car, he'd be like, we're not going to school, we're not going to school, we're not going to school. And he would like freak out and be really sad, and really, and he it was making him anxious. And like, he's not an anxious little boy, he's just exactly like my sister. He's really laid back, but that was really causing him so much stress. And again, it's no, like, it would be really, really reductive of me or anyone to say to my sister, well, that's because you didn't push hard enough, or that's because you're like, it's nothing to do with her or who she is or how she parents. It's in him. And it's the same with Caelan. Like, he is who he is, regardless of how you respond to it. And like you said, you're not up to 90 with him because you want to be up to 90. You're up to 90 because he acts the way he acts. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's so, that really annoys me actually, when people just think that they can blame a parent entirely on the outcome of their child's, I don't know, personality or ways or whatever. Sorry, that was a little
I
rant
know.
there.
Because if it was that simple, like,
If it was that simple, sure, you could just chill, Caroline. You should
you
just
just
relax
take a
more.
chill pill, like in what's it, Hakuna Matata. It's like your father was killed, and the person who killed your father is trying to kill you now. Have you tried just relaxing?
I love that meme. I love it so much.
I know, it's really unhelpful, and I still think there's plenty of like toxic positivity around
Yes,
and
I really do. Oh.
unhelpful blaming and things. And I know people think that they're trying to suggest something or be helpful, but I don't know, this whole parenting thing is just so fraught with layers of judgment that's kind of veiled as
Oh, so much judgment.
kindness or,
Yeah,
well, I do
not
it this
being
way, why can't
helpful.
it look that way for you? And then there's also in parenting, there's a lot of, because it's the most important job you'll ever do, like most significant role you'll ever have, shaping a human being. Like, what could be more? It's huge. And of course, we're very sensitive to how we will be perceived and how we're doing that job and the effect we're having on our child. And like, I'm ready to pounce at someone who questions me. And I have to, like, unfortunately, it's the price of admission for when you share, which is why I've now, as you know, pulled an awful lot of what I do say over to my Substack. Big plug for my Substack.
Oh
Because
yeah.
it just
Go
feels like a
read it.
safer space, which I know your listenership also hopefully will be too.
Yeah, no, I kind of feel like the Every Mum listener are, they're like, they're understanding and they're reasonable people.
So yeah, I'm still kind of in the middle. I don't have the outcome yet. I think it might be next week. It also might come back with absolutely nothing, and she might tell me, look, you might think about going and having an assessment with this other kind of person, or giving it a while. I really don't know. Like, last week I would have been certain. I was like, there's no way we're not coming away from this without a diagnosis. This week, for whatever reason, he's woken up on the wrong or the right side of his bed, and he's been a lot more flexible, and just the catastrophes have we've moved beyond them quicker, and I'm still walking on eggshells because I'm afraid to even say it, and I'm afraid that, like, He'll just tomorrow turn around and be like, I'm back. You know?
You know that thing of like, anytime anything is going really well, I'm like, don't say it. Don't
Don't
even
say it.
think it. Don't say it. Don't think it. Like, it's
I
going
know.
fine. Let like, because the minute you say it, or the
I
minute you
know.
even think something is going well,
But I
they
realize it kind of
mirror
this
you.
week has given me the context of, or like the ability to see that how hard it is makes it, has made it so hard to enjoy, because this week
What?
it's been a lot more easygoing.
Yeah.
And I have had the best week with him. I've enjoyed so much of our time together. I have relaxed because I feel like we can handle more. You know, if I break a biscuit, like, okay, you might have a bit of a cry about it, but it won't go on until the next day, which is what happens to us most of the time. So my experience of being his mother has shot up, and I'm like, oh my God, this is lovely. And there's just more, I have more patience, and I'm sleeping better. And this is just, it's literally, we've had a 4-day streak of being like, oh my God, is he turning a corner? So if you'd asked me this week, separate to every other week, I would have been like, I'm not sure, I don't know if we bother with an assessment, but I'm glad that we have, because obviously, you know, 3 really difficult years basically is not something to ignore. And yeah, so look, we'll get more answers soon, or we might get recommended to go down another avenue. But either way, we are committed to understanding and learning more about our beautiful boy, which will help me, which is also important, to relax a bit into it and know that I'm doing the right thing, which will help us try again for Montessori this year. This will be his last year of ECCE if we can do it, and then for school. And you know, just seeing the little signs of little bits of confidence building is really, really, really encouraging. And then we just want to know that we can come out the other side and have a lovely time together, and plan some nice trips together. And a whole other conversation would be the whole one and done thing.
Oh my God, yeah, no, seriously. Like, I know we've talked about that before. In fact, it's a regular topic for discussion for the two of us, because I am in the middle of that. No, I'm not in the middle of it. I'm like about 94.3% sure I'm one and done, but there is the societal pressure of, well, you have to give her a sibling, you know, there's that whole thing. So, but no, I listen, I just think you're brilliant for being so honest about your experience of parenthood and about things to do with Caelan and his assessment and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so good of it. It's so generous of you, I think. And I've told you this before, but it's so generous of you to be so honest, because there are going to be parents that are listening that are having a really hard time with their child for whatever reason. And they're going to be thinking, and you know, having those really dark thoughts in those really crap moments. And feeling the guilt for having those dark thoughts and feeling like the worst in the world. And to hear that it's not that, like, they're not alone. There's other people going through these things. There's other people that have the exact same worries that you do. You're not the only person who's like, am I a bad person for not wanting my child to have an assessment? Or am I a bad parent for wanting my child to be quote unquote normal? No, you're not. Like, every parent wants the very best, the very easiest, the very happiest life for their child. And the fact that you are so open about your process with Caelan and what you're going through and the assessment and all that kind of stuff is such a service to so many parents. So thank you very much, Caroline.
You. It's always a pleasure and a little therapy session to come on
Yeah.
and have a chat with you. So thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening, and of course to Waterwipes, the number one baby wipe brand in Ireland, for their support. Waterwipes Original are made with just two ingredients, 99.9% water and a drop of fruit extract. And they are plant-based and plastic-free wipes. If you enjoyed this conversation, subscribe, rate, or we would love if you could leave a review. Share this episode across social if you want, and get in touch with this week's guest.